Okay, so we're continuing here in Tomer Dvora, the second parak, and we're talking about different parts of the human body and the way in which those particular parts can be used for in a holy way, how to elevate them, and how to avoid using them in more of a challenging or negative way. So the Rosh Kravera writes as follows: Hachamishis Einav. We're talking today about eyes and the way that eyes and the role that they play. Einav lo yistakel behen klal b'shem davar meguna. That eyes should not be used to look at anything which is inappropriate to look at. That our eyes control a whole lot, and it's important not to look at certain things. We know there's Nisr of Histaklis. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Avodah Zarah and Daf Chaf, V'nishmarta mikol davara, so yihayir adam bayom v'yavu de tuma balayla. The Gemara tells us, so yistakel b'isha na'ev afila pnuya, that a person should avoid looking at beautiful women, whether they're married or they're single, if they're married, not to even look at the clothing of women if it's going to generate or have a certain kind of here or which is there. That there's something very, very important about not looking at things that are considered to be inappropriate. Things that are considered to be inappropriate. That's one. This happens to be on a halachic level in Machlok, the Beis Yosef quotes Ibn Ezra and Simon Chafalef, as to whether the Isser of Histaklis is really an Isser de Oraisa or not. He quotes that the Or Chos Chaim writes in the name of Rabbeinu Yonah that it's min haTorah that a person shouldn't look, at least at a married woman, that may be mi de Oraisa, for Pnuya could be mi divrei Kabbalah. There are other Rishonim that may argue with that. It seems to be that we have, on some level, the Rambam may think it's only de Rabbanan, a lot of discussions here about the exact nature of that avera of looking at things that are inappropriate. There are a couple interesting things about this phenomenon. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Tshuva in Perek Dalet that Histaklis is one of the things that we could assume a person who violates it is not going to do tshuva for. Why do we assume that they're not going to stop doing it? Lefi shem dvarim kalim be'enei rov ha'adam. It doesn't seem like it's the most severe thing in the world. V'nimtze chote hu yidme she'ein tachet. It's very easy to convince yourself that it's not really a sin. Why? Because hamistakel ba'arayos ma'ala al-daito, a person who looks at things inappropriately can feel like she'ein bekach klum, that there isn't that much I'm actually doing right now. I just looked at something. I didn't cause anybody pain. I didn't do anything that was wrong towards another person. She'omer v'chi ba'alti or kervati yitzal, what, I didn't have beer with her. I didn't think I was so terrible. V'hu eini yodeya, he doesn't know, she'ri'iyas ha'inayim avon gadol, that it's considered to be a real sin. Why? She go remes legufan shel arayos. Because it has the potential to cause a person, to lead a person to sin in the more severe way. But certainly, one yisod about shel yistakel klal b'shem davar meguna is that it's a very natural phenomenon for a person to play down the severity of it because I didn't cause damage. I didn't do anything that was like so horrific. I understand if I spoke lashon hara and now a person lost his job because of that, that's one thing. I understand if I spoke badly about someone, or if I punched someone and I hurt them, or if I ruined their property, if I caused them a financial loss, I understand why that's so terrible. But here, like, what was the impact of it? So the Rambam says the impact of it is that it may lead you to do things which are not so appropriate. You could have made an argument in a different direction, which is speak about Histaklis as being inherently problematic. That there's something wrong with it, even if a person knows it's not going to cause here or tumma balayla, that there's still something wrong with it, because a person who wants to be in the realm of Anashim Kedoshim, a person that wants to be holy, so wants to only be thinking about things that are going to bring him to a holier place or to things that are neutral. And the more that you're consumed with and looking at things that lead you to a different direction, the more problematic that may end up being. It happens to be, and here's part of the nature of, which I think is intriguing on this topic of Histaklis, is the second reason why it's challenging. It isn't only challenging because it doesn't seem like the worst thing in the world. It's only challenging because it happens to be very easily accessible. Not that also, but there's another phenomenon, which what the Gemara in Yuma describes on Daf Ayin Dalet Amid Beis, quote, commenting on the pasuk in Koheles, Tov Mara Einayim Miholach Nefesh, Amar Shlakish, Tov Mara Einayim Beisha, Yoser Migufo Shal Maisa. Sometimes the looking is more geshmak than the actual Maisa even. The anticipation. The, for lack of a better way of saying it, the hunt is sometimes more enjoyable. I think that's how some term it. Than is the actual ma'isa. Tovus Yishanim there writes in Yuma Hilchach Tzarich Lehizayir Meod Mimenu, because it feels sometimes it gets a person going in a particular way. So it doesn't feel like it's as severe on a level of avera. it seems to be something which can be incredibly enjoyable, which can be very, very tempting. It's something which is easily, easily accessible. But the more that we look at it, the more that it removes us on some level from leading us to a place of Kedusha, from leading us to a place of real and authentic holiness. Okay. Comes Lomar Shkaver, though, and he has the next step. That you find in a lot of Sfarim, the importance of not looking at certain things that are inappropriate. I happen to love the next part of him, because the next part of him, I think, is where it gets really beautiful. Amnam, though that is the case, and a person should not be looking, b'shem davar maguna, tiyena tamid pekuchos lahashkiach ularachim al ha'umlalim kfi kocho, ukshiyire b'tzaras ani lo ya'atzim ein of klal, el yizbonin b'daito olav kfi kocho, v'yor rachim alav neshamayim v'mnei habriyos. Says the Moshe Rivera, you can't close your eyes all the time. It's not okay to close your eyes all the time. You have to. There are certain things you have to look at. Certain things you have to look at, and you have to look at them, even though on some level it may be hard to look at. When there are people who are suffering, you need to look at them. You're not allowed to close your eyes to those people. When a person's having a difficult time, and it's easier to pretend like I don't see it, a person needs to be willing to look in those particular contexts. A person is walking in Yerushalayim, wherever in Yerushalayim, because unfortunately there are several places you could walk with this phenomenon, and there's a person there who looks incredibly downtrodden, and maybe they're also severely disabled. And many people, it's natural for many people to want to sort of turn away, And it's natural for many people not only to turn away, but even if I'm giving tzedakah or something, sort of like get in and out pretty quickly. Let me give it, and let me turn around, because I don't want to look at that. And says Moshe Cordovero, you have to look a little bit, not look in a distorted, perverse, rude way. To look to be able to really sympathize, to look to be able to really emotionally connect, to daven l'rachim al ha'ulam kifikocho, that I want to do it so that via ober rachimim alav mipnei shamayim. I want to v'gam mipnei habrios. It's an amazing phenomenon. It's one that we've quoted the Vort many times in the past. I happen to love it. The Gemara in Sota and Daf Yadala describes what it means to be like the Ribbono Shel Olam. So the same way that the first Baruch Chaim ever gave was on this. The same way that the Ribbono Shel Olam visits the sick, so we have to visit the sick. The same way that he's Menachem Avelim, we have to be Menachem Avelim. The same way that the Ribbono Shel Olam is Malbish Arumim, we have to be Malbish Arumim. So there are those who suggest that I think is a remarkably beautiful idea. All of those situations, naturally and intuitively, people like to move away from. You find out that there are people who are incredibly, incredibly sick in a particular location. So naturally, I don't mind writing a check necessarily. It's a beautiful and holy thing to write a check. But on the interpersonal level, and it's important to write checks, but on the interpersonal level, so sometimes I want to walk away from that. A person's clothing is absolutely gross and tattered and it's whatever, and they're dirty. And so many people naturally want to be able to walk away. You want to be able to walk away. A person that lost a loved one is suffering enormously. A lot of people don't want to go make that visit and be there for real for that particular person. What the Ribbono Shel Olam, the Mahu Af Ata of being like the Ribbono Shel Olam, is the same way that the Ribbono Shel Olam, that those kinds of people that we want to run away from, the Ribbono Shel Olam goes towards. And that part of the tzivoy of being like Ribbono Shel Olam is instead of covering our eyes every time there's a person who's suffering, every time there's a person having a difficult time, is that our avoda is to look. Our avoda is to be there, to pay attention, to do whatever we can. Via ore rachmim alav b'pnei shamayim umipnei habrios. There was an interesting debate in the Dati Lumi world a bunch of years ago on this particular fact. The Sefer put out, Rav Yehoshua Shapira is the Rashiva, the head of Yeshiva in Ramah Gan. So at the end of a Sefer, we're a Sefer Ben Yanni Kedusha, right in the Sefer, he says, sometimes you're walking the street, like it's okay, it's mutter to take your glasses off. It's mutter to run through the street. It's mutter sometimes because you can't look at certain things. You can't be looking at Davar Maguna. So I think Rav Amital, I don't think it was a response to that, but Rav Amital and Gersh used to say, I think, that you should just be careful because once you start taking off your glasses, you aren't only not seeing Prutzos. You're also not seeing other things also. You're not seeing some of the beauty of the world. And Rosh Carver would say, you're not seeing the people who are sick and in need. And it's important to see that. It makes us better people. To have to confront that reality, it makes us like Ribbono Shel Olam. We don't run away from things that are difficult. We run towards things that are difficult. We do our best to be as compassionate and as real as we possibly can. So one level is not looking at bad. The other is being open enough to say, "I got to look at something which is good. I have to look at something, even though it's not so pleasant. You got to do it. That is very, very hard. That's It's very, very hard. But that's a real level of avoda. And if you read some of the books about tzaddikim, if you read some of the biographies that are out there, it's one of the midas which is often there. The capacity to sit with someone for a long time who's going through a very difficult time and listen. The capacity to look and sometimes embrace someone that smelled, that was going through a horrifically challenging time. That's part of what it means to be big. There's a third element here of re'ia, which the Moshe Rabbeinu points out, which is v'yisrachik mikol hashgacha ra'a k'derech sha'ayin ha'alyona p'kucha mishtakeles miyad el hatov. To avoid, this is in the Sefer Balakta B'drachav, commenting here on this piece, elaborates as follows. When I look at somebody else, so I should avoid any sense of ayin hara. I shouldn't look at them with a certain kind of evil eye. With a certain kind of evil eye, I should be able to look at somebody and to be happy for them and what they have, and not to look at them and be frustrated and upset and looking for the bad and looking to be jealous and imposing a certain kind of ayin hara in life. We will often be in situations where there are others who are on some level more successful than us at something. Someone gets a job that you don't get. Someone gets to go out with a girl that you wanted to go out with. Somebody that, these things happen all the time. And says Moshe Cordovero, so I'm not looking at Davar Maguna. I am looking at people who are suffering. But when I look at different people in their lives, I'm looking at them with an ayin tova and not an ayin hara. What often happens is this guy got what I wanted, so I can automatically, instinctively list the reasons why lo magia lo. I can instinctively list the reasons why, the reason why I got that was because of X or for Y. I can talk about why he didn't deserve it. I can talk about why he's not that great of a guy. I can always downplay people when they got something which I didn't end up being able to receive. It's a natural phenomenon which comes very, very easily in certain kinds of situations. That can be as basic as a guy gets, again, the job interview, whatever it is. That can be the shir, and a guy asks a question, and the Rebbe says, like, let's say you're in a shir with the Rebbe who's capable of giving positive feedback, and says, wow, that was an awesome question. Something like that. And you're like, I had that same question, but you didn't call me, or that wasn't a good question, but this is the better. You're thinking of everything. There's a way of looking at things with an element of ayin hara, which is very, very challenging. Which is very, very challenging. And ayin hara may be very real. It's a machlokas between the stipler and of Moshe, I think. The Gemara beginning of we'll quote this beginning of Baba Basra. I'm assuming we learn Baba Basra next year. You never know what's going to happen. But assuming that we learn Baba Basra next year, the Gemara based on the base, about Ayin Hara. So the Rambam, in a well-known way, the Rambam does not quote the Ayin Hara type Gemaras. But amongst those who do relate to Ayin Hara, Machlokas Achronim even, if we would be able to assess the fact that your Ayin Hara actually caused damage, would you be chayev midin adam hamazik for damage caused? Ayidei Ayin Hara. Ayidei Ayin Hara. There's a Moshe about this, a stipler about this. I mean, Ayin Hara on some level can cause something. How that works and when that works, I don't have any idea. I don't know for sure. There are definitely those who claim it's not as relevant, certainly nowadays. But Ayin Hara may create a real Metzias. It may be something which is Me'orer, Klape Shemaya, a child. Does he really deserve it? Does he not really deserve it? I insert something which is somewhat negative in a way which can be very, very, again, highly challenging. Highly, highly challenging. And in that sense, the way that I look at things, let's sanctify eyes for a minute. Let's sanctify eyes of not looking at bad things, being able to look at good things or important things for us to be willing to see. I saw it once, actually. I was at a chasana, and it was a family that had gone through enormous tzara. Enormous tzara. And there was, at one point in the middle of the circle, there was a child who had been diagnosed with cancer and was not a good place in the treatment. And the child was dancing in the middle, and it was like a gut-wrenching. It was a gut-wrenching thing to see. I instinctively looked away because it was just too heavy to see. And I noticed in the crowd that there were two people. They are two, I would say, very involved Klal Yisrael Tzibor people. Very Klal Yisrael involved Tzibor people. People who have given enormous amounts of both money and time, who did not look away. They were looking with tears in their eyes at what was taking place. Meaning they were in that moment for real. And that there's a midah of being able to see. There's a midah of being willing to look. And whenever I see this person, Adiyom Azeh, so I'm not that long ago. Again, the guy's probably in his 60s, 70s. Whenever I see the person, I always, that the image of me is him looking at that person dancing with tears. Because you got to look. You got to look. And looking is a mechaye for us. It's very, very chashev to be willing to do so. But the third is not, is what about the things that can go both ways? What about things that can go both ways? That's the ayin hara, ayin tovim, Shaila. What about the person who got something, and I get to choose right now, do I look at it in a good way or in a bad way? What about somebody who achieved something? I look at it in a good way or a bad way. They got this. It's my automatic reaction, jealousy, kinna, putting down the person, speaking about why they aren't that great. Or do I have the ability of ayin tova, being like Ribbono Shel Olam? The Mosh Carvero, the Ribbono Shel Olam, and it lives in an existence on the upper highest realms where the natural, intuitive thing the Ribbono Shel Olam does is see good, and we have an enormous amount riding on that because we want the Ribbono Shel Olam to be the Melech that's Rachaman that looks and sees good, and for us, so we know there's a midah kaged midah, the Gemara says in Shabbos called. When we're done as Chaver Lekavschas, done in Oso Lekavschas, as Moshe Carvera wrote so many times in Tomer Dvora, when we act a certain way, the Ribbono Shel Olam acts that way towards us, and the capacity to see good in others means that when Ribbono Shel Olam looks at us, he's also going to be seeing a degree of good, also going to be seeing a degree of holy, of pure, of nice, of pleasant, of all that's good in this world. And our eyes become very significant vantage point to be able to, you know, the power of vision. The power of vision is very, very chashev. It's very, very chashev. And this is part of it, is what you see impacts things. What you see impacts things. It has an enormous, enormous impact. Some of this, again, is pashut, and some of it is less so. Some of it's halachic. The Dover Maguna, certain kinds of histaklus is considered to be usher. Maybe even also Doraisa for Ben Yonah and for others. And some of it's not. There's no iser to look away when a poor person's asking for tzedakah. But it's a very different realm of existence. Again, iser to not give the tzedakah, that may be. But there's to really look and to be there and have a conversation and sit and talk and not pretend like it doesn't exist. You know, there's often a desire to do so. Now, this is not the same thing as saying let's glorify videos of suffering. And let's try to do our best of like, wow, I heard that NBA player broke his leg in a nasty fall. Let's watch that so I can identify with, you know, Paul George years ago when he had some, like, you know, like horrific, you know. Like, that's not what this means. It doesn't mean that every time inappropriately something gets uploaded online, you have to look at it. It means looking at the downtrodden. It means looking at those who are suffering and looking and really, really looking. And that downside sometimes of covering your eyes and taking off your glasses from everything, including people suffering, It worked, but not all the way. I once heard the name of Shlomo Zalman about the Shiloh, about how much news a person should follow. So I think Shlomo Zalman said, L'chol ha'pacho is enough news that you can daven properly and behave properly. Meaning, if I don't even know that something is going on, so that's called Moshe Kodavera here. That's called closing your eyes to the downtrodden. That's called a lack of sympathy and empathy and a lack of capacity to experience what other people are feeling. And that becomes very, very chashev to be able to do so in a way which is great. Kashvu is coming up. I want somebody to speak about how it connects to like Roem Esakolos, but I got nothing. So we're just going to leave it at that. But I'm sure it does. On some level, the merging of vision and hearing and how last week and this week come together as a prerequisite for Kabbalah Satorah. Hatzlacha to all of you. We're coming up with something good on that. But have a wonderful rest of your day.